David Aguayo.
Present.
Angela Botho. See what fishy. Nope. Kathleen Detman.
Here.
Elizabeth Doyle.
Here.
Judy
I'm
Karofsky.
here.
Glenn Craig. Here. Aureliano was upstairs. Andrea Nielsen.
Here.
Stephen Peters is out of the country. Mark Richardson.
Here.
Jim Ring. I know. Eric Rotier,
Here.
Mike Revere.
Here.
Great. We got a good quorum.
Thank you. Next, we will approve the minutes from the June 20th, 2024 meeting. I was not present, but I don't do that anyway. So who's going to make the motion? Approve the motion.
I'll move.
Eric, and
Eric.
second? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thanks, Bart. Is there any discussion on the minutes from June 20th, 2024? Any additions, corrections? If not, all those in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? You're opposed?
No, he said aye. Okay.
Thanks, Jim. That delay really threw me. The minutes are approved. And now, public comment. Hey there, we're just starting.
So,
A real
there
thing.
is a public comment note.
No.
You all have this letter.
Oh, yes.
I sent it out for you. This came in, of course, it was after our last board meeting in June, and before we didn't have a board meeting in July. So this is the first time I can share, I've been able to share it with you. They were expressing concern with regards to the missile event that we had here. The reply, the attorneys advise us not to, and if there is going to be one, it'll be coming from them.
So, do we have to do anything?
No. Nope.
Okay, just so we all, well, as if it was a public comment, we don't comment on the public comment, but don't take a motion on the public comment.
Right.
It's just in our packet.
Yes.
Okay, Sarah, thank you.
I ask a
Is there
question
any?
on process? Is that standard protocol that the attorney's office drafts the response and it comes from them? Just for.
In this particular case, because of some of the challenges that came up for with the different people that got in touch with us about their
Concerns.
concerns, yes. That is why we had to actually have the attorney look at, see what our policies were, determine, that kind of thing. And they were going to draft a response of some kind.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good question. Thank you. Any other questions on that issue or any issue? Then we'll move to disclosures and recusals, please. Mike.
Sorry, Judy. Continue to serve on the Rural Terrace Booking Event Assistance Committee and City Room Tax Commission.
Jim?
No, he isn't. It's Eric.
Glenn. And he's not here.
Eric.
Eric.
Eric, that's right. Sorry, Eric.
I continue to serve on the Destination Madison Board of Directors and through my position at NCG Hospitality Manager to Brookfield Conference Center.
How's that going?
Good. Have a
Oh,
good day.
good, fine.
Yeah.
Any other disclosures or recusals? Thanks. And then so now we're going to introduce our new employees. Bill, you're first up.
It's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I have from our sales department, Steve Dongera, and from our event services department, Haley Lemberger. And they can tell you a little bit about themselves. Steve is taking the place of Laura McIsaac, our long-serving director of sales. And he has been working with Laura. This city changed the personnel rules a little bit, so we can have up to a 90 working day overlap between an incumbent who's leaving and a new hire, which in the case of somebody who has 27 years of experience is huge for us. It's huge for her to be able to work with Steve and impart as much of her, experience and wisdom as she can. So, and then Haley comes to us, I don't know, maybe I'm going to steal your presentation, but she comes to us from La Crosse. She went to UW La Crosse, and she can tell you about, the degree here and there. And did an internship at their convention center, which we found very attractive from an employee perspective. She got some really great experience there. So she's bolstering our event coordination department. But, give your elevator pitch, or you
nice to be there. Nice to meet everyone. I'm 30 days into my training, or Laura would use other words. It's been great. I'm taking it a lot. 27 years and 90 days. Just trying to get the fundamentals that can keep things going at the status quo, and then see what we can do to excel going forward and keep things going in the great manner that it has been. One thing that I do appreciate is there's a lot of staff here that's been here for 27 years. That's exciting to me. That tells me that it's a great place to work, great place to be, great team to be a part of. I can already tell that the sales team I work with is very engaged and cares very much about the mission. And certainly Laura's been fun to work with too. She adds a little spunk and some fun to the work as well. I come with about 15 years of sales experience and about 20 years of management. And most recently with the Department of Corrections. So I have 9 years of public service as well. So all of those things combined, I think, make me a good fit for this position. And again, my excitement for it, my optimism for the future, what I've learned so far is I really look forward to being a part of this leadership.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey. So, hi, I'm Haley. I'm new event coordinator. So far, this position has been really awesome. Like Bill said, I came from La Crosse Center. I just graduated in May, so I'm pretty fresh. But my experience at the La Crosse Center definitely helped me ease my way into this position. I'm really eager to be fully in the schedule and being able to take all my own events and help edit and Michelle as well as Jeannie. They've all been really great. Like Steve said, everybody here is very welcoming and very helpful. I haven't gotten the feeling from anybody that they're not here to help me and with any questions that I might have. I just had my first event this week, actually, which was the firefighter interviews. And then I'm fully in the schedule for November and have about 10 events. So yeah, I'm really eager to continue working here, and it's been great so far.
Welcome.
Any questions for our new hires?
There's one more.
One more. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff. I'm sorry.
I would like to introduce you to Wayna Shin. Wayna comes to us from the City of Madison Metro Department, and I'll let her give you a little bit of a bio of herself.
Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you all today. I'm Wayna, the new accounting technician in the business office. I'm originally from China. I've been living in Madison for 10 years. I enjoy living here, except for two things, cold and cheese. I joined Monona Terrace the end of May, and I have been previously I worked for Metro for 6 years, and I truly enjoy working with Jeff and the rest of the team. I'm looking forward to continue to learn and contribute to the team. Thank you.
So I love cheese, but I've never had a beer. I don't like beer. Other stuff, maybe. So, welcome. Are there any questions or other comments about cheese or beer or employees? Everybody says the same thing. Just a wonderful place to work in. And everybody says the same thing about how helpful the initial training, if you want to call it training, introductions have been. So thank you, everybody. That's to the staff and the new hires. Having said that, we have a new board member who was appointed. Is your City of Madison?
Yes.
So welcome. Kathleen or Kathy?
Kathleen.
Okay, because we have Elizabeth and Kathleen. Detman, Kathleen is a shareholder in Palmershine Detman SC, a small boutique law firm focused on transactional business law and business litigation. Before that, before being an attorney, she worked as a lobbyist and policy analyst here in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she's a past member of the Dane County Bar, past president of the Dane County Bar Association, and she served on a number of volunteer boards associated with the state bar. She lived in Madison since 93, attended Edgewood High School and the UW-Madison. She lives in the Near West Side with her husband and her teenage daughter, who is currently a sophomore at West. So congratulations. We're so glad you're joining
Thank
us.
You.
We always have a spread like this every board. do you want to say anything before everybody just you want to, and you can add, you don't have.
Only that I'm just really looking forward to being a part of it and, you know, getting to know everyone and doing what I can to help and keep this great organization doing all the good things it does. So,
well, we're just the best board in town. And we all stick around because of it. But we do have some new business. So finance report and our operating budget. Mike, are you going to take this? Or are you going to do
yes,
this?
Yes, I'm happy
okay.
for the
pitch. For those who don't know, which would be Kathleen, and maybe you too. Also, the Finance Committee met in the hour before this meeting to go over the 2025 budget submission. And now Mike's going to fill you in on what that will be.
And that, correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, that's in everyone's packet. That's not a Finance Committee.
It is.
Yep. So I'm referring to document on Manoa Terrace letterhead, a memo from Connie, and I'll only do the introduction, and then we'll let Connie and Jeff do all the real explanation of the operating budget submittal. So this is, as a reminder to those of us that have served for a while or for the first time, Kathleen, this is a normal annual process for the this board. All City of Madison agencies have two budgets that they're required to submit: a capital budget earlier in the summer, and then the operating budget that was technically due on July 19th. We always consider those in arrears. It's tradition here, with the caveat that the submissions that were made by our staff could be amended by this board through our actions. So the capital budget proposal for 2025 was already considered and adopted by this board and will be part of the budget process this fall by city elected policymakers. And same with the more difficult operating budget process. So at the meeting, as Judy mentioned, that occurred only within the hour that were attended by myself, Judy, David, and Jim, virtually, we unanimously are recommending that this board adopt the 2025 operating budget request that was submitted by our staff to the City Finance Department and the mayor for consideration in her budget proposal that will be released by her in October. And we can get into the politics and, you know, the other issues as this board would like. But as I said, I think let the real experts present to you the operating budget proposal rather than me attempt to do that, since they're the ones that put it together. So, Jeff. That's you, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask if Connie had any opening, or you want me to just
go? Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
She pointed to you.
Sure. So, when we start the operating budget process, we get information from our budget analyst over in the City Finance Department. That helps us out a lot with the starting point of the projected permanent salaries and benefits, along with our interdepartmental and pilot charges. Those are like the fixed costs or the ones that the city is giving us. We then work on our building revenues along with purchase supplies, purchase services, and two pieces of the payroll part of it, overtime and hourly. And so our managers did a great job on the expense side to keep purchase services and purchase supplies pretty much flat from this year's request for 2024. We had an increase in the payroll side of it, and that was mostly due to anticipated cost of living adjustments and the never-ending increase in health insurance premiums. We also had a slight increase in some of the interdepartmental charges. When it came time to, you know, as an enterprise agency, our main objective is to have our building revenues plus the room tax equal our expenses so that we come in with a zero budget. This one was a little bit more challenging this year just because of the fact that, you know, we're looking at events that are on the books in June of the previous year, trying to forecast out what next year looks like. One of the biggest things was that as of right, well, back in late June, early July, we had just 21 conventions as opposed to the 26 or 28 that we've got this year. Most of the time we use about $50,000 per convention. So that's a considerable amount of revenue that we had to make up. So Bill, Connie, myself, we all looked at it, and there were some historical data that we were able to use to help us increase our budgeted amounts for meetings, conferences, and banquets. And when you're talking about 300 events per year, even jumping that up $1,000 helped to bring our overall revenue picture up. The ancillary revenue, which is essentially gift shop tours and our miscellaneous stuff, stayed pretty flat. Mike did ask about the $1,000 increase on ancillary, and I told him that Heather wanted to increase her expenses by $1,000. So I told her she had to increase her revenues by $1,000 as well. And so as of right now, we have a slight overage, which is $67,000. At the advice of Ryan Pennington, who's our budget analyst, we put that into an account called Fund Balance Applied, which will either be revenue that we'll generate going forward, or he said that depending on the room tax presentation that happens in September, that money might just get melded into our room tax contribution. And so as of right now, we have a zero balance budget. One of the nice things is, and I'm going to steal Bill's thunder for a change, even in this month, from the time that we first started looking at this, we had, I think it was about 47 between conferences and conventions. Now we're looking at 52 or 53 potentially for next year. So in just in this month, we've picked up potentially five or six events, and those are two of the higher earning event types that we have. So that's already boding well for us for next year. So, you know, the submission got us to zero. Everything that would be beyond that point will help us out. So that was the issue.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problem.
Go ahead, please, Eric.
I have a question on the, it says the 2025 request for event revenue is $155,000 more, but it's more than the 2024 budget.
That's
more because easy. We're currently running $300,000 ahead of event revenue year to date.
Right. We're just looking at the adopted budget from last year in comparison to the requested budget for next year. And if you remember, at the end of last year, we actually were even, that $4.012 million was lower, but then the city increased it by $120,000 to help us offset our anticipated costs for our event management software upgrade. We were originally coming in more like 3.9, and then they bumped it up to 4 million. So for us to get to almost 4.2 this year with five less conventions is pretty good.
But it is possible that 25 requests is going to be a lower number than our actuals for 24.
Correct. But a lot of that depends on how well Destination Madison and our sales department does. So put that pressure right on Steve right away.
And the operative thought here is the increased revenue per event, which we're capturing in the predictions.
Yeah, we keep track of everything in terms of like the averages per event. And certainly there was that blip in 2021 and parts of 22, but 19 and even 22 and 23 for meetings, banquets, and conferences, the average per event was high enough that we felt comfortable with bumping those up a little bit. And like I said, if you even bump up by $1,000 per event, and you're talking between meetings and banquets being 300 events, that's a nice chunk, especially since conventions are down a little bit.
So questions or comments, the chat? So, Mike, do you have anything else? I'll do it here. Do you have anything else to say?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so we need a motion to approve the operating budget as presented by the Finance Committee. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of adopting the 2025 operating budget as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Thanks, everybody. And so we move on. To Wendy. Thank you. How did you know that? Thank you. I'm Monona Terrace Catering.
Hey,
Wendy. I loved it all. Oh, you're doing that. I'm going to have my mouth full. Thank you.
All right, so today I'd like to share our mid-year review with you. 2024 looks to be a good year so far, so we've been on a carry with estimated revenues in excess of $7 million, which is approximately 5.7% higher than 2023. We're off to a great start. Due to the 10-year renovation project, December of 23 through January of 24, the revenues had a slow beginning. But February was a very strong month, and the momentum continued as May was the best month so far. Total revenue for the first half of the year is $2.4 million. Staffing, hey, this is so much better than 21. Hiring employees has been easier this year, and Monona Catering is able to fill most positions, including for Lake Vista. Temporary staffing agencies are required only on large event days after employee rosters have been depleted. Our total services for quarter one and two. So total services this year so far are $306,747. And just in comparison, last year it was $167,283.
Wow.
So quite a bit of difference. The numbers are definitely coming up. Thank you, sales. Lake Vista Cafe. The cafe opened on May 21st and is doing well. Despite the rainy season, the cafe is getting good traffic and interest in the weekends, especially during the Concert on the Rooftop and Dane Dances events. It has been a very rainy season so far. So we are currently at, I did this last week, we're currently at about 108,000 right now, which is $3,000 over last year this time. So we're neck and neck with last year at this time. Marketing and donations. At the end of January, we donated 1,000 petite cupcakes for the family winter prom, which was sponsored by the Madison Parks. And then in March, we had our we sponsored the Wisconsin Chapter of Meeting Planners International with a lunch and reception, and helped to support Monona Terrace with Terrace Town cookies and activities. In February and March, we did our annual showcase tastings for the 2024 brides. Little couples, and the tastings were well attended. In the first half of the year, we donated 4,394 pounds of food to local shelters, and 32.8 tons of post-consumer waste has been diverted from local landfills. From a greenhouse gas standpoint, these composting efforts are equivalent to 432 urban trees, seedlings grown for 10 years, or they offset the equivalent of 65,078 miles of driving and 2,952 gallons of fossil fuel usage. So that's really great.
Questions, Wendy? What recipes?
All of this food is available at the Lake Vista.
Yeah. So, Wendy, just can you give us, I'm sure it's difficult in every rainy day is different, but sort of a rundown. What do you do in terms of predicting or staffing for Lake Vista in a rainy season?
Well, It's hard to say. Like, if we knew that today was going to be a washout, we could have canceled staff yesterday. But we actually waited until today because this morning it actually looked like it was going to clear up for a while. And then we thought maybe we could capture lunch business. And then it just didn't. It started to rain around lunchtime again. Mm-hmm. So with our union contracts that we have, we do have to cancel staff at least 2 hours before their scheduled shift. So we took a look at the weather 2 hours before we were ready to open and said, oh, it doesn't, it's just too risky. And we canceled stuff.
So had it even cleared up, it would not have been open, is what you just said. And I'm sure we could have guessed that, but I do want to hear how you say that. Any other questions?
When's the last date for the cafe, rooftop cafe?
It's all weather dependent. So obviously the last weekend of August into September is the Taste of Madison. That's really a great weekend. And as long as the weather holds out, we'll be open. And then we go into the Ironman weekend, which is great for us. And then after that, because the students start to go back to school, the weather may or may not turn, depending upon September's. It's kind of a gamble at that point, whether we stay open for a longer period of time or the rain, you know, just really closes us down, that sort of thing. It gets really uncomfortable on the roof if it's less than 65 degrees up there. And that's when you tend to see people not out very much.
Thank you.
Wimps.
our goal is to be up until the end of September.
Eric has a question.
I know you mentioned the slow start. This is a but we're at 2.4 million. And you're going to end at 7. Is that common that the back half of the year is so much stronger than the front half?
Depending upon what January, February, and March actually have within them. You know, like next year in March, we have the American Family Children's Hospital, and that's a great revenue driver for us. That's every other year. So, of course, that wasn't this year. May was super strong for us. It was a really great month. June was good. July was a little bit less because the business in July was more concessions driven, so versus buying catering from us. And so that kind of tipped the scales a little bit for July in the lower end, whereas August we've got American Family Insurance at the end of this month, and that's going to tip them back up.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions? Alder Revere.
Yeah, thank you, Judy. I was going to ask you, and thank you, Wendy, of course, for the spread, as always. Very generous. I was going to ask you, actually, about the AmFam leadership meeting. So it's in our written report. It's one of the largest events. And just using that as an example, is that a huge lift for your operation? Are they ordering a lot of food for their leaders?
It is. So they've got box lunches for about 1,500 to 1,600. Which obviously is a lot of prep and things for that. They've also got the reception the night before for that number. And then they've got some receptions that they keep adding on the day that they end. So they end on Wednesday at like 4 o'clock, and then we've got some receptions. They added a dinner today. So we've got some smaller groups for like 150 or so. They're coming in for that too. So it's a very nice piece of business to end the month up.
Thanks, Wendy. Next up, Bill, booking pace. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Well, Jeff and I do our monthly forecast, and as he occasionally does, depending how the year is going, he pointed out something that, I don't know, it's a milestone that I personally enjoy. It's that right now, and I'll explain to a little bit about our thinking. But right now, if we didn't book anything else this year, we'd make our budget. We'd be 2% over if we book nothing else. Now, of course, we are going to book other things. We're going to desperately try to book it. You know, we're going to go hard till the end, and we expect to put at least another 40 events that we don't know where they're coming from, but we know they're out there. We're going to get another 40 events on the books by the end of the year. Is what we hope to do. What we expect to do. So where that leaves us is we expect to be about 5% over on our event revenue by the end of the year to budget. We expect to do a little over $4.2 million versus our budget of $4.012 million. And for overall revenue, which counts the gift shop and tours and other ancillary things, when you throw that into the mix, we by the end of the year, we expect to be about just under 4% over budget, coming in just shy of 4.5 million overall revenue versus a budget of 3.6 million. So I think we're in a good place. We always want more. We're starting to position ourselves for next year and do all we can to get business on the books and come out of the chute fast for 2025 as best we can. That's what I have today.
It's a great report.
Questions? Anyone?
So I have a question. So when we are over budget like that, does the excess revenue go towards our reserves, or how does that work?
Yeah, certainly anything when the city is all done with all of their year-end entries, if there is money still that's left over above and beyond, that will go into the operating reserves. If you remember, that pretty much got cashed between 2020 and
right.
2021. And so we're starting this whole process of
building that back up.
Yeah.
Kind of along that same thread, when we are over budget like this, especially close to half the halfway through the year, do we offer like discounts for multicultural events or like quinceañeras or something? Is that something that would be considered or happened?
It's not so much based on the event, although we do offer free use of this room for groups that are a 501c3 or even that would. Even if they're not, if they would qualify, if they applied, we let them come in and use the room for free and have like water and coffee at no cost. So that's kind of our general community outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the individual events, we just look and see what day of the week are they going to have their event. If they do a Friday instead of a Saturday, we'll throw in a free dance floor, or we'll try to do something with an AV package just to entice a group to come in. But we don't segment discounting quite that way, just in terms of who the group is necessarily.
Okay. Thank you.
I think his question, though, was based on if there's a surplus. I mean, but what you're saying is that standard practice that you...
Well, we want to have some pricing integrity and that the market perceives us as being even-handed with how we treat different events. And so we try to have a reasonable and repeatable formula with how we offer discounts to different groups. And so it's more based on how do our books look? Are we soft? Could we use more business? Then we're more and more motivated to offer room rental discounts or even rather than room rental discounts, we try to offer incentives like the free dance floor or something with AV.
Mm-hmm.
The group would otherwise have to pay for.
That's an interesting discussion.
Well, kind of back to the public comment, like when you open up those doors, and I'm sure Mike knows, like you have to have a very clearly spelled out policy that's been vetted by legal to just know that, again, you're kind of treating different groups the same, and you have a very well-defined policy if you start to kind of work in those spaces.
Yeah, kind of our little quick test is if another group similarly situated walked through the door, would we offer them the same deal?
Mm-hmm.
Our answer is to be yes.
Mm-hmm.
Questions? Anything else for Bill? Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
So, Jeff, are you going to do a finance report on top of the building?
I can flip a coin real quick and let you know.
Okay.
No, this one's nice because, I could do 2 months, June and July. So last month. June's revenue was really nice. We had four conventions that we originally had three budgeted for the month of June at about $365,000. Four that we actually held did a little over $530,000. So that really helped June's numbers. The reason that it ended up $9,000 lower was primarily the cost of our hourly expenses. Plus, as I've mentioned a couple times this year so far, we've had two retirements so far this year of people that have been here for a really long time. They were exemplary employees because they almost hardly ever used any sick leave. And so when they left, the sick leave payouts were pretty significant. One of them did occur in June, and that was about right around $65,000 of an expense between the sick leave and the vacation and time payout. And so that number, had it not been there, we would have ended up to the positive for June. Take that into consideration, you know, the $9,000 to oversight, I guess I would call it that way. July was almost the exact opposite. We were about $47,000 under budget from the standpoint of revenue. Most of that was because we had 14 banquets budgeted, actual versus 18 budgeted. That revenue was pretty much what cost us for the month. But thankfully, we were about $20,000 or $21,000 underspent on the expense side. So the net number was about, on my report, it's about $26,000. The good news is we're still about $140,000 to the good through 7 months now. The roller coaster continues. And when I look at August's revenue from an event standpoint, it looks better than budgeted. And one other little tidbit is just telling that June retirement along with Meg back in May, we've had about $125,000 in unanticipated expense. The city doesn't allow you to budget for anticipated retirement. And so had that not happened, we'd be looking at more than $250,000 to the good right now. But I don't besmirch either of our retirees. And, you know, they were awesome for 20 plus years. And I think that we have very capable people in our succession plan following in their footsteps. So hopefully, I know Mike had said this when we were talking in the finance committee meeting, we have one more retirement later this year, another person that's been with the city for more than half their life. So the sick leave payout and that will be significant, but that will probably be October, November-ish. And so stay tuned for that number. I think that's all I've got.
Thanks, Jeff. Questions for Jeff or comments? Anyone? Just so you know, if you end up here in the right morning, starting like 2 years ago, 25-year cakes appear in the offices. And you're invited to have a slice. And it's just, the first time I saw that, I heard it, it was amazing. Now I'm a little bit more used to it. It's going to be a good place to work.
And tiles on the rooftop.
And tiles on the rooftop. Mm-hmm. So that was, yeah. And now Connie, our director.
Hi. So I have a little update on our event management software might switch. Our previous software was called Ungerbach, or short version USI. And we switched, well, they were bought out. We switched to a different company called Momentus, and we reported that we did complete the testing, which went well. And then we did the full migration just, 2 days ago. And so far, so good. Everything is functioning as it should. We had to do a little bit of work on the signage function, but I believe there's a fix it. In hand, and that's going well. And then staff continues to work with the parking ramp. They have reached out to set up another meeting because there's going to be they're going to be resurfacing, which just means putting that nice kind of goldish epoxy stuff down over everything, which will be nice. It'll look great when it's done. And so we're going to be working with them on this kind of the plan for when and where they're going to do that, because it's going to be a series of sections at a time because it has to dry, has a long dry time. And then, yeah, talking about heavy rains caused, the lake levels to go up, and I know they're kind of holding steady right now, which is great, but it... put stress on our sump pumps on both docks, and both, like, all of them failed. So now, and we can't fix it until the water recedes. I think we could fix the other, this west side right now, but it takes 90 days to, do you remember, 90 days to get the pumps? I think it's 90 days to get the new pumps are on order, so we have to wait till those get in here. And then the worst side was the east side.
Slower.
It's lower, so there was a lot more water. That is now kind of receding as well, and so there's a chance we can get that done next week. So we're hanging in there, but there for a while, I originally thought it was just the lake levels rising and that we had this big problem, but the city engineer said it was not at peak yet, so we were safe. We all lived through the 2018, so we're like a little, you know, touchy about it. And then grant paperwork for our new chiller has been submitted, so we should get repayment, which will be great. Our LEED certification process actually just started. We have to, you know, renew every several years. I think it's a 5-year thing. And that started today. It's same company, but new person in charge. And so we're just going through the process of putting data into the system so that they can, you know, fill out an application for us and get us recertified. And I think Mike already brought this up, but we had the missile event
the
24th and unexpectedly high security requirement. We made it through that. Command center had to work 12-hour shifts, but otherwise the majority was internal staff, and we didn't have any additional expenses. And then the operations people wanted to point out that the International Plastic Modelers event in July used every single one of these type of tables that we had in the place, and we had to order an additional, like, 500 more from a different vendor. So there were tables everywhere. It was a really cool event, honestly. I didn't know anything about it, and I'm not into, you know, putting models together, but there are a lot of people that are. And it was a large event with a lot of different ages of people, young to old. Really interesting event. And we got extremely high survey results back from them. They loved being here, and I think they're coming back, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then community relations, their concerts on the rooftop series had a total attendance of 12,067, an average of 2,000 per concert. And then their normal stuff has been going on as well, the yoga and Lakeside Kids. Dame Dances has, you know, a couple concerts under their belt right now as well. And that's going well. The gift shop has like 3 pages of new products. You'll have to stop up there, but
publicity in the State Journal.
Yeah, it's publicity in the State Journal, which was really nice. Yeah. And then of course the new Embassy Suites Hotel opened, and we attended that, many of us. And staff is now working on the annual client event called the Summer Soiree. And RSVPs are coming in. That's going to be on Wednesday, August 21st. Hopefully you can all make it. And then a new event called the Orchid Growers Guild, which has normally been held at Olbrich Park, so it's going to have their first event here in January 31st of 2025. So that's nice. And then the rest is just a whole series of events. And catering already gave their report, so we know they're doing that. I think that's it. You guys have any questions? Anything that can cover or that you know more about?
Do we have any pushback from clients or possible events from that?
Miss Bill? Have you?
No. Oh, which event?
The missile event?
Not that we're aware of. Are we?
Okay. Good.
And you understand where that comes from, but it's also about, it's about space exploration. Certainly there's defense contractors there, but it's also about launching satellites and, putting people into space. It isn't all military use of all those certain things. Mm-hmm. That was part of the event. But no, we haven't heard from clients that there's any residual bad will about that.
Good. Thank you.
I've got a question regarding the sump pumps, mm-hmm. which I think anybody who lives anywhere in the city has one. There's some of them are failing. Question is, I guess, two part. One is, have you seen them fail before? Is this like a semi sort of regular thing or?
No.
Okay.
No, they haven't failed before. I think we did have in 2018, we did have one on this site that we had to replace.
And the generator was stolen.
They brought it back.
It was even borrowed.
It was, yeah, it was borrowed
which I can kind of understand because in 2018, I believe that there were no pumps available anywhere. And so out of desperation, they probably borrowed it and then brought it back.
Right. Desperate times. The reason I'm asking the question is, not knowing what those pumps cost, but knowing that they're 90 days to order.
Oh yeah,
just two of them.
Okay, and just thinking if it was at all common, given what storms have been lately, and it feels like now this is the norm. Mm-hmm. Whether it makes sense to order one of those pumps and have it here if we have a surplus this year.
Yeah,
we don't have to wait on it if we needed it again.
Yeah, we did have that discussion. We didn't realize that they took so long to get because we haven't had to replace them. So on those two on this side, we're gonna have a backup. But on that side, they're more of a stock item. These are special order for some reason, bigger ones. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
But yeah, the only one I'm aware of, and I'm sure they failed before, 2018, but just that one that failed on the other side was only one I was aware of.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Connie? Yes.
Thank you, Judy. Yeah, so back to the controversial event. A couple of things that I think the board might be interested in hearing from Connie or Bill is how many times had that event previously been here without any interest by the community at large?
At least two, maybe three.
It was three.
So this was their fourth time using our
facility. It would have been four, but during the COVID year when they were supposed to be here, they didn't come. And so that's how we got them this time. But like every 2 years, it's a every 2 year cycle, and there's never been a problem.
And did I understand correctly too that they have this event around the country and they've never been protested until they came here?
That's true.
Do you have any?
At the risk of being political, which we're not here, we have heightened concerns about
the war. At least, of course, I totally understand.
Unfortunately. That. And we're a university town with sort of a focus, focal point, unfortunately, again. Well, maybe fortunately, it depends how you see it.
We had a similar.
Where I was going with that? Oh, sorry.
No, yeah. We had a similar issue at a Cap Times event at the Edgewater, Oshkosh Corp. The CEO discussions, and you might be familiar. Well, the CEO of Oshkosh Corp. Yeah. came down, and we had protesters outside, and then the couple sort of got into the lobby, so we delayed the start of the breakfast. It was a very similar deal where 80% of their revenue comes from other things other than military. Transport mm-hmm. vehicles, but
they know
this year it was a thing, and so we had to plan accordingly, increase security, delay and wait for the all clear to start it. So I think the election year isn't helping. isn't helping that at all.
To add to that too, I know a lot of county board supervisors have gotten outreach for various perceived kind of war-related impacts or events and things. So yeah, I think it's just the climate we're kind of in right now, especially people are keeping an eye out for more and voicing those opinions.
And they want to be able to voice them.
Yeah, so where I was going with my preamble to the question about they haven't been protested anywhere in the country until their most recent visit here is, did you get any sense from them or your colleagues that work with them more closely if they might want to come back or not? Was it premature to?
busy. I think it's early.
Certainly.
They did like they like
they Madison. Like everything about our facility.
They like our facility. They like Madison. They
sure.
They, you know, they tour around, and this is just a really great town to come to. So I don't know. 100%. I think they expressed that they could be back, but I don't think it's 100% definite. They booked or anything like that.
The big book of business.
It is.
And obviously they work with Destination Madison a few years in advance. And
mm-hmm. Right.
Bill, can you remind me how much money they received from the Booking Assistance Fund?
14, 15,000.
Yep.
Seems to ring a bell.
Yep. So they, for those, I just, you know, these are kind of answered questions that I know the answer to, but I thought it would be interesting to my board colleagues here that they did receive room tax funds to help subsidize their rental here. And those of us that serve on the Booking Event Assistance Committee received dozens and dozens and dozens of emails and protest with the misunderstanding by the peace activists that our committee actually books the business here, which we don't. We only do the appropriations for that assistance. Well, I'm sorry, Bill, were you going to say?
I was just going to add that their direct spending was a huge multiple of that number. We spent 15 to get $1 million. I don't know what it was, you know, 750,000, 800,000. You know, this group, I don't know what the exact number is, but we have it. But it's always a huge multiple of direct spending that these groups bring in for a relatively small investment by, you know, through the room tax for that 15,000.
Right. Yeah, thanks for that reminder too. And just lastly, Connie, to confirm what you were saying in your report, that we didn't have to spend one penny of our own funds for the enhanced kind of 11th hour security. They covered all that, both MPD, special duty pay, and all private security. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. But it all kind of goes back to Elizabeth's initial question, how and why it would have been sent to the city attorney for review. And it was above and beyond the usual for this facility.
Well, the city, just to clarify, the city attorney's office doesn't review our reservations, but we, because of
the question,
unprecedented
the issue. Yeah.
Yeah, the unprecedented issue, all the media inquiries we're receiving. Oh, the communication,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, and the decision about how to handle it. Just
yeah, why don't you speak to the, because I was going to ask you offline, but I'll ask now. In this forum, did Assistant City Attorney Amber McReynolds provide a memo yet on this topic? And you know when we should expect that?
No, I need to follow up with them and see where they're at.
I think Laura's looking.
Yeah,
because Laura's a First Amendment expert in the office.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, there were a lot of media inquiries, which I don't think we mentioned yet, of your operation. No, but like
but
newspapers,
did.
Media. Yeah, I did. I received reporters asking me questions about it. And so part of your work, real time, was asking the city attorney's office for legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't responded yet in terms of helping us in the future if something like this.
It's not exactly legal advice. It's... I guess that's legal comment.
Yeah,
not advice with like the communication strategy,
correct,
but
exactly
or crisis management. You could even say,
but
rather,
yeah. What it was our understanding that we do not have the right to turn events away, and they confirmed that. But they're going to do a deeper dive and give us an opinion,
mm-hmm.
and we have not heard since then.
Can I just ask, were there actually incidents or that occurred during the event that were concerning? Or was it more just that there was the media coverage and the kind of inquiries that people were putting forward?
There were protests
out front on Olin Terrace.
There were, okay.
But none of them ever accessed the building without.
And there was no physical contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
And no tents. And I don't mean to make light of that, but I just
felt fairly well behaved.
Yeah.
Yes. Be sure.
Hey, are there any other questions?
Switching topics radically here. Just one last question.
What we're here for.
With the departure of Tony, you know how much I care about the green space and the gardens here.
Oh, did you? He left?
Yeah, he started his own business.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a huge loss in my estimation. But anyway, could you speak to the timeline for posting? And
it's been posted. We have...
This is about the gardens on the rooftop for those.
Yep. We have a number of applicants already. I don't know what the final count is. Do you? 40?
I thought Brooke had mentioned something in the 30s
30.
When she did her presentation during the all managers meeting.
Yeah.
It's a good number. I don't remember the number, but it impressed me as being a good number of applicants.
So that we haven't gotten those names yet. And we expect them next week, probably, when Brooke is back online. She's on vacation or off today and tomorrow.
Vacation next week.
And Dwayne's gone next week. So, And then interviews will probably be the following week. And then we'll move forward from there. But we do have Carlos. Our he was a part-time. Yeah. Well, he's kind of full-time during the summer and then kind of off the rest of the year. But and Tony trained him and left good notes and instructed him what to do. And he's been doing a great job.
Has he worked with any of the volunteers that Tony worked with? Because I know there were a bunch of gardener volunteers. I thought.
Yeah, so Heather's working with them just to keep them in the loop and make sure we can get them for next year. Carlos is handling everything right now. And any help that he needs comes from the maintenance department.
Okay. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But... as long as we're discussing the rooftop, here's the transition. The client appreciation party will be August 21st on the rooftop. Yes?
I thought it was inside.
Say again?
This is inside?
It's going to be inside?
Yeah, right. It's right. It's in the community terrace.
So we'll transition down to the community. So the big announcement, if I can get it straight, is that we're all expected, invited, hope we can all attend the client appreciation party on August 21.
Okay.
Five to seven. Thank you. Is there any other business to come before the board? If not, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on adjourning? All those in favor?
All right.
Anyone opposed? Meeting's adjourned. Don't forget this food. Thank you, everybody. It was nice to see everyone.
Oh, Judy, are you heading right over tomorrow?
I need to go home for.
Oh, I know that's what I was wondering. That's what I was going to say.
Like Tyra said, Tom was going to go.